God is good. And all the time. All right. I know. That got about half of them, I think. There's still kind of a remnant that still have, they have an authority problem, I think. I think that's what it is. If you'll look at your bulletins, looking at your bulletins, at the very back, you'll find a connection card. Be sure to fill out that connection card, tear that out, put that in the offering plate. We will remind you to do that later. Also, I would like to thank everyone who took part in Trunk or Treat, whether you donated your trunk, whether you brought candy. We had over 500 kids and their families who attended this year, huh? That was good. Amen to that. So, thank you for your time, your dedication, your trunks, your money, your candy, everything. Thank you so much for that. Also, there are a few things I want to lift up. There are some inserts in your bulletin that I want to point out. There is a taco salad luncheon, silent auction, and deer rifle raffle, okay? I had to practice that a few times. Deer rifle raffle, so take a look at that. That is going on November the 9th, coming up on Tuesday. Also, we are in need of a nursery or child care attendant. That would be the blue insert. We have been looking high. We've been looking low for someone to fill that position. And if you're wondering, how can I help? Is there something I can do? There's a way. There's a test that I can give you to see if you can help us with that. I want everyone to hold up two fingers. Two fingers. Everyone hold up two fingers. Okay. Put them together. Okay. Now put it here. Okay. Now if you feel okay. Somebody call. Make a call on that one. If you feel something, then you can help us. Spread the word. Okay. If you don't feel anything, let somebody know. Okay? I'm just saying. Also, Young Adult Sunday School class is beginning next week at 9 o'clock. So if you're interested in that, be sure to be here for that. And at this time, I'd like to ask Richard Kreisel to come up for a stewardship moment. So everyone give it up for Richard.
The applause didn't last long enough. I had to. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Great to be here. My wife, Brenda, was scheduled for this duty, and she was called away unexpectedly to a funeral. So, like every good wife, she wrote it down for me. And I will deliver it to you. In all seriousness, Randy Eaton, Tracy Spry, and my wife Brenda have all chosen to serve on the stewardship committee, and they've been blessed, they've had the honor to work on this, and she's prepared these remarks, as I said, so maybe I should just not go too off the cuff here. These last three Sundays you've heard from Randy and Tracy, and now me and Brenda's stead. And we've been blessed to discuss the meaning of tithing and glorifying God. In Deuteronomy 14:22-23, the Bible tells us that we tithe to honor God and show our obedience to Him. He also tells us that He wants us to give of our own free will. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, He says, "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." So God has laid out our plan, and we should give with a cheerful heart. Sometimes, as a congregation, we may wonder, you know, where does our money go when we do give? But just like in our homes, our church has expenses. We have electricity, we have utilities, we have insurance, we have repair costs, the costs of doing business, so to speak. Our tithing is why we are cool in the summer and why we are, as my wife puts it, toasty warm in the winter. Our tithing is why we have a beautiful church home for the weddings, the baby showers, anniversaries, celebrations, and funerals. And beyond our normal expenses, our church also provides for the education, the mission trips, the Ignite program, and Spark. Our tithing provides for the crafts and the snacks for the Spark kids on Wednesday, so they may learn more about our great God And our tithing sends our youth on mission trips, which change the lives of both the ones they help and the youth themselves. This is a very exciting time in our church. And Eric and Jamie. It's catching, isn't it? Eric and Jamie's excitement for God is certainly rubbing off on us and our community besides. God's plan, God's plan is in action for all of us. He tells us in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You should have received in the mail recently the commitment cards. This is the brass tacks right here. These commitment cards are used to help the finance team determine a budget for the following year. We all understand that sometimes it's hard to commit to a dollar amount, not knowing what next year may bring. But it's important to have some idea of what the 2011 income will look like for our church. So please help. Fill them out. Return them. Regardless of the amount, please help. Thank you for your cheerful giving in the past, and have a great day.
And at this time, I'd like Paul Dirks to come up and give the minutes for the Ignite. Okay, he does not need to walk through glass either to do it. Right?
Morning. Well, you know, it's getting close to the time for this year's Christmas. Oh, sorry, wrong side. Thanksgiving dinner and pie auction. The event will help fund the youth trip this year. We're going to Colorado Springs. It's going to be pretty fun. Plan to eat an awesome lunch. And you know that there are going to be some amazing pies to auction off. There's no entry. Like, you don't have to pay when you walk in. It's just all donations. And that is Sunday, November 21st, right after second service. And there's a little insert thing in your bulletin right here. It's yellow. And then I was told first service that if you are cooking a turkey, it is downstairs. Fellowship Hall? Yeah. So be there.
Let's pray with me as we open. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you, God, for just who you are and just what you do. And Lord, that you watch over us and that you lead us and that you guide us. And God, we just praise you and just thank you. And Lord, just be with us in this service. And Lord, lead our minds and our hearts to worship you. We ask this in your name. Amen.
If you would please take out your blue hymn books and stand together. Turn to page 380. We will sing verses 1, 4, and 5 of There's Within My Heart a Melody. Seated. If the kids will now come down for Kids Corner, you'll spend some time with Julie Cohen this morning.
A little bit. Have you ever had a day where you got out of bed, the sun was shining, you could smell breakfast being cooked, and it's your favorite? Your favorite jeans are on the end of your bed so you can hop right into them to go to school. Your homework's right where you left it, and you even find that lost library book. Anyone ever have one of those perfect days? Anyone at all? You had one? Okay, how about you guys out there? Anyone have one of those perfect days? Oh, he said it's not perfect if you're going to school. Yeah, if you didn't go to school, though, you'd be bored at home. No offense, Dad. Okay, how about a morning like this when it's a jungle out there? You get up, you sit up, you put your foot down on the floor on a piece of wet, soggy, crumpled paper. And it's the homework you spent 2 hours working on the night before. No jeans on the end of your bed, it's raining, and you don't know where your raincoat is. You know you're going to have something that you really don't like for breakfast. You reach in your drawer to get a pair of socks, and there aren't any in there that match. You could swear a monkey's been in there scrambling them around. See where we're going with this jungle? Yeah. You go downstairs. You've only got one tennis shoe on because you're not sure where the bear took it. But it's gone. Does anyone have mornings like that? Anyone at all? Shout it out if you have. Okay, got a witness. That'll work. Okay. Well, a lot of my days are kind of a combination of that jungle out there and that perfect morning. Like today. I came to church today, and I was all excited because I was going to do this with you kids next week. It was supposed to be my turn next week. So when I was told, hey, you get to do it this morning, I was like, where did that dog put my homework? Well, I want to tell you, every day is a good day if you've got Jesus in your heart. And when you're having one of those days where you just can't find that library book, or you're running late, or there's a substitute teacher that isn't your favorite. Anybody? Mm-hmm. Or even with the grown-ups, you have extra work you weren't expecting, and you have to stay late. Everybody has those days and those problems. It's just part of being here. But if you've got Jesus in your heart, you can do all things through him because he gives you strength. Justin handed me his Bible, and it says, that's not it? Okay. I'm not sure what he underlined. Okay. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. So, say you're scurrying around and you're running late and you've got to find stuff that you don't know where it is, ask God to help you. He loves to help us. And you will get through those jungle out there days. Could we say a little prayer? Thank you, God, for those perfect days that come along and those jungle days that make us really appreciate those perfect days. Help us to remember that no matter what's happening, how much chaos we've got going on, that Jesus is as close as our next breath. All we have to do is say, Lord, help me through this day. And if you remember to do that, if we remember, you'll make it that best day. Thank you so much for loving us, for caring about each one of us, for even knowing how many hairs we have on our heads. He loves you that much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Children are collecting change for missions. If you turn in your blue hymn books to page number 571, we'll sing Go Make All Disciples.
Thank you.
And our joys and concerns, as always, as we do, remind you to please take your bulletin home. Keep it by your prayer chair. There's names listed here of people that are in need of your prayers. There's so much that goes on in our lives. We can't keep up with everybody, can we? But we can pray for each other and keep each other always close. I have a PTL to share with you. Ashley Pittman has accepted a kindergarten position with the school, Sedalia School District, and we are so happy for Ashley. Sunday, you share that with her, that we're sending her our blessings. Yeah, yeah. Weston?
Deanna, I always said I wasn't going to do this, but, you know, since all this has happened, I can't contain myself. You know, I grew up in this church, and this church has been very good to me. 5.5 years ago, Shane and I got married in this church. And on Friday, we found out from Dr. Campbell that we are expecting.
How excited we are for you both, Weston. Oh boy, another little one to spoil in our church family. Give our blessings to Shanda too, please. Is she here? Oh! Congratulations. Congratulations. If you'd bow your heads with me, please. Dear Lord, it's hard to contain our excitement. You bless us so abundantly in our lives. They can get so hectic and so crazy sometimes. And then this happens. The blessings of a new life coming in our midst, joining a family that spreads also to our church family. We hear of a young woman who's worked hard through her education and is now the promise of a job to put all of those hard work to its test of a job. Thank you. Thank you for always watching over us, always feeling your presence in the trials and the tribulations that our lives take us, knowing that we are not alone. You are there by us through every step of the way, and that we do have each other to lean on and support. Lord, we ask that you go with us this week, that in our daily lives, each taking us in different directions, that those people that we meet see you in us and ask us the question, what puts that smile on your face? So that we may share with them you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You go, Weston. Congratulations, guys. That's awesome. I want you to turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 4. Now, while you're turning there, who can tell me what was Luke's profession? He was a doctor. He was a physician. Can you imagine what a first century doctor was like? I mean, praise God, it's 2010. I can't imagine getting a first century colonoscopy. I mean, seriously, that would be no thank you. I know. But he may limit my duties from here on out, but we'll see. I want everyone to stand with me. Hold that place in Luke 4. And say with me the Bible pledge. Everyone say, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke 6, if you'll turn to verse 16. And for those of you who don't have your Bibles, it's on the screen. Four? What did I say? Oh, sorry. Luke 4. Luke 4. Verse 16. Sorry. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Eric.
As we begin today, I want to take a look at our scripture. So keep those Bibles out if you haven't put them away yet. And if you could, get them back out for just a little bit here as we begin this morning. I want to back up a little bit to the beginning of chapter 4. The beginning of chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. Now, what do you suppose happened in the Jordan? Yeah, you know, it was just a little that little baptism they had. You know, the heavens opened up. You know, that little thing that happened at the Jordan there. Yes, he just came from the Jordan. And full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Now, it's important that you understand here, Luke is trying to express himself, and anytime you hear, well, we learned, I guess, at Catalyst, there's another reason why preachers repeat themselves. Preachers sometimes repeat themselves in a sermon because they're trying to find where they were in the sermon. But normally in the Bible, whenever something is repeated, it's very important to the writer, okay? And if you notice here, it says, Jesus, full of what? Returned from the Jordan and was what? Yes, led by the Spirit in the wilderness. Luke wants us to understand fully that Jesus was saturated with the Holy Spirit at this point in his life. So, right after he was baptized in the Jordan, he was tempted for 40 days and, of course, nights. Then, we don't know how long it took him to recoup from that. But in verse 14, just down the piece a little bit there to Luke 14, Luke tells us, once again, Jesus, filled with the what? Returned to Galilee and was praised by everyone. Now, in today's scripture, we find him back in Nazareth where he grew up, and since it was Sabbath, he went to the synagogue to worship. Now, it's interesting, sometime in your spare time, you know, read all four of the Gospels and circle every time whenever you hear that Jesus was at home. That's just an interesting little exercise. Nothing to do with the sermon, but I, you know, anyway. So, as he grew up in Nazareth, he came home, right? And as it was the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue to worship. And the Bible tells us, Luke tells us, that this was his custom to do this, right? He stood up to read the scripture, and he chose from Isaiah 61:1. You can write this down if you want. 61:1, and he also included 58, Isaiah 58, verse 6. And it goes like this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now I have a question for you this morning. What does that sound like to you? What does that scripture sound like to you? So Jesus got up and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." What does that sound like for his life? Yes, a mission statement. Praise God and hallelujah. A mission statement. That was Jesus' mission for his life. That was the reason for him living. He is stating it right there at the beginning of his ministry. That was his purpose, his mission, the reason that he... I mean, listen to this. Listen. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring" what? "To the poor." Yeah, don't want to leave that out. "He has sent me to proclaim" what? "And recovery of sight." "To let" what? "And to proclaim" the what? Yeah, that is his mission in life. That is the reason he is here. He even refines this statement later on in chapter 4. If you still have your Bibles with you, look at verse 43. He refines, you know how churches, they have these long paragraphs, and then they have like the quick statement, you know, reach up, reach out, and reach in, you know, stuff like that. Well, this is what Jesus did a few verses later. And it says, Jesus says, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." Now tell me, what is the good news of the kingdom of God? What is the good news of the kingdom of God? He already defined that, didn't he? It's to bring good news to the poor. It's to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. It's to let the oppressed go free. It's to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That is the good news of the kingdom of God, and it's Jesus' purpose to spread that good news. You understand? You follow me so far? Okay, you want me to start over? Seriously, you understand that so far? All right, okay. And so if you search throughout the Gospels, you will find that is exactly what Jesus did. He stayed true to his purpose, even when it meant torture and death on the cross. Jesus was faithful to his purpose. The good news of the kingdom of God came to humanity. Jesus brought good news to the poor. Jesus brought release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and he set the oppressed free. Now let me ask you this. All right. If we talk about the release of the captives, does that mean, oh, that's good, he's come to all of those people that are in jail so they can be released, or he's come to all of those who are slaves, who are captives, and they can be released? Do you think that's only what Jesus is talking about? I mean, we're captive to many things, aren't we? Whether it's bills or taxes or many other things in our life, quite honestly, that we set up, we are captive to those things, aren't we? Really? And Jesus came to what? Set the captives free. And so who are the captives? We are. That's right. So Jesus has come to set us free. How about that blind statement? Where is it? Recovery of sight to the blind. Do you think that's only for the physically blind? We're blind in all kinds of ways, aren't we? Quite honestly, sometimes the blind see better than we do. Amen? Yes, I mean, think about it. It's like the scripture in Matthew where Jesus is talking about the sheep and the goats. I call it a character story. It's a story about character. Sheep, the goat. You know, Jesus talks to the sheep and he says, "You fed me, you gave me clothes, you visited me when I was in prison, you did all these things." And the sheep go, "Now wait a minute, Lord. When was it that we saw you hungry and fed you? When was it that we saw you thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it?" Right? That was so much a part of their character, they didn't even understand that they were actually feeding the hungry, visiting the people. Why? It was this their character. However, he moves to the goats, doesn't he? And he says the same thing to the goats, except he says, you didn't feed me whenever I was hungry. You didn't give me clothes. And the goats say, now wait a minute, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and didn't bring you food? When was it that we saw you thirsty and didn't bring you something to drink? When was it that we saw you naked and didn't bring you clothes? We don't understand, Lord. When was that? And Jesus says, when you've done it, when you did not do it to the least of these, you, come on, say it with me, did not do it to me. You know, that's one of my biggest fears whenever I go to bed at night. I literally look at myself in the mirror every night and I say, who was I blind to that needed your word today, God? That is one of my biggest fears. That I will step over someone that needs God's presence. And that may just be a, hey, how you doing today? That may be all of God's presence that's needed. But on the other hand, it may be like Mother Teresa, where you need to take someone to the hospital. Right? We need to pray that Jesus recovers our blindness so that we can see. You've been there. You all know how blind we can be. It's like you walk by someone in the grocery store and that thought in the back, you know, the good days when you're not held captive by things. And you walk by that person in the grocery store and you're like, I need to go back around and say hi to them this time. You ever done that? You ever have that voice in the back of your head that says, hey, now, wait a minute, that person needs me. You need to go back and say hey to them. Right? Yeah, exactly. So all of us are blind. All of us are held captive to these things. It is not just the physically blind and those who are literally held captive by imprisonment. The good news of the kingdom of God came to humanity. Jesus brought good news to the poor. Jesus brought release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and he set the oppressed free. Now, as we dig deeper into this concept of Jesus having a purpose, it made me remember something from the past, a voice in our history of Methodism that I haven't mentioned yet, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement. And you've heard me talk about this before. You've heard me talk about how he spoke of rigorous faith that united one's head, one's heart, and one's hands together in Christ. Anybody remember me talking about that before? Oh, just raise your hand, make me feel good. Thank you. All right. Another way to put this is a faith that includes reason, a faith that is heartfelt and spiritual, and a faith that is hands-on and shown outwardly through the stewardship of our time, our talents, and our tithe. And like I said, you've heard me talk about Wesley's concept of head and heart and hands before. Being anointed with the Holy Spirit is not to adhere to rules. It is to be faithful to God's call and God's purposes on our life. A faith that strives first for the kingdom of God is a faith that unites one's head, one's heart, and one's hands. Personally, I believe that many people in this church community work hard to unite head, heart, and hands in ministry to this community and the surrounding area and the world. You know, there are many times that I feel so blessed to be your pastor and to be a United Methodist because of all the things we do in this world, supporting people by feeding them, clothing them, giving them shelter, helping rebuild their lives after a natural disaster, giving children a safe place to live, helping rebuild their lives. Helping people have fresh water to drink, providing nets to protect people against mosquitoes, carrying malaria, providing pets, P-E-T, pets, so that people who have lost the use of their legs because of landmines and things like that in foreign countries have a way to get around. All of these ministries are because of the United Methodist understanding of being Christ to the world by you giving your time, your talents, and your tithes. So, what about First Church? What do we do? What is our purpose? Our purpose, or another way to put it, is that everything about this church is based on the idea. What idea is everything in this church based on? You all know it. Y'all know it? Yes, our mission statement. Let's say it together. We are called to make Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. That is the statement that guides everything this church does. Let's say it again. We are called to make Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and the world. So how does this church live this out? How does this church live this out? Well, let's look at some of the ministries. How about Caring Ministries team? The Caring Ministries team cares for this community by sending cards, by providing meals, by arranging rides to doctor's appointments, by visiting the sick and homebound, and on and on. Folks, that ministry can only happen because of those in this church willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. And we do it because it's about changing people's lives. Amen? Think of all the times when we have childcare during worship and meetings and rehearsals that Justin talked about that we need so badly after our last person resigned. We can only have those because of childcare, and people with kids can only come because of our childcare. Right? That way, those people who have children may attend our choir rehearsals, our meetings, and even worship itself. This ministry can only happen because of those in the church willing to give their time, their tithe, and their talents. And we do it because it's about what? Changing people's lives. How about Vacation Bible School? When we have all the children laughing and singing and learning about Jesus, folks, these things can only happen because of those in our church willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. If you can't work sometime on a Vacation Bible School, if you can't work the whole week during Vacation Bible School, you've got to at least come and experience the fun that the kids have in this safe environment. And what are they learning about? They're learning about Jesus, right? And for some of those children, it may be the only time in the year that they hear that. But it's because of this church and those in it giving their time, their talents, and their tithe, that those children are able to hear that. How about our welcoming team? They give away iced tea and lemonade at the summer's parade simply to provide people something to drink. Many of them are on the welcoming team are in charge of the Family Fun Festival. Think of all the hundreds of people that went through our Family Fun Festival this year. Because of this church and people in it giving their time, their talents, and their tithe. Justin already mentioned the trunk or treat. Folks, we had at least 500 kids. We know that because we gave away 400 stickers only to children. And a lot more kids came through after they were gone. And that's only the kids. You have the adults, their parents, grandparents, whoever came through with them, that experienced the love of this church for children. And many of them said thank you to us, saying thank you so much for providing a safe place for us to have Halloween evening. That only can be done because of people like you giving your time, your talents, your tithe, and in that case, your candy and your trunk. How about our volunteers in mission? They go and they rebuild homes that are ravaged by hurricanes and floods. This can only happen because of those in this church willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. And they do it because it's about changing people's lives. How about Allies for Angels ministries? This is a tough ministry. It's a tough ministry, but it's a powerful ministry. And it helps those in this community who are mentally or physically challenged, as well as their families. Changing people's lives, folks. Changing people's lives can only happen when those in this church are willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. Are you catching on this morning? Let's say this together because I'm getting tired of hearing myself say it. All right, let's read this. Changing people's lives can only happen when those in this church are willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. That is so true, and I hope you understand that. If everybody, well, first of all, someone asked me the other day about, government programs and stuff, and I said, you know what, this isn't a political statement at all, but if the church had been doing what they were supposed to do for the last 200-300 years, our taxes would be a lot less. I mean, they would. If we did what God called us to do as the church, we wouldn't need a lot of government programs that we do. And so therefore they're taxed upon us and we have to give them. And what did God say in Scripture about, joyful giving, something like that. I don't know of one person that joyfully pays their taxes. Even if it honestly does feed people, it still appear taxes, right? Yeah. See, so we have like 475 members in this church. We have somewhere between 250 and 275 that worship on Sunday morning. Think if every person gave their time. Think if every person gave their time. Nobody would have to give a whole lot, would they? Think if every person gave their talents to the church. Well, definitely one person wouldn't have to do a lot of things, would they? Why? Because God gives us talents to use. And God gives the church a need when that talent is available in the congregation. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Think if all of us, well, praise God, think if all of us gave 10% or more of our household income. What could the church do, folks, in this community? Well, Eric, that's not a reality. Okay. All right, that's not a reality. Let's say every person gave 5%. That would be more than is given now. Do you realize the average United Methodist gives 1.5% to 2% of their household income? Is that people that are passionate about the ministries of their local church? Is that people that are passionate about the ministry of Jesus Christ in the world? No. If we were Jews, we'd be giving 30% of our household income. We got a bargain being Christians, don't we? Right? But this is more than about money. This is about our time. This is about our talents. And it's about our tithe. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? It is so important that we understand that it is everyone in it together makes a huge and amazing gift of the people in this community when it is given joyfully. And speaking of that, what about when our benevolence fund help someone buy groceries or pay the electric bill or pay for their gas going to the hospital or doctor's appointment. Changing people's lives can only happen, let's read it together, folks, when those in this church are willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. Times when, well, like today, this is Warm House Sunday. Right, Ken? Right here in this church, Warm House Sunday. We have a barrel right back out there. For months, everyone has known that the first Sunday of the month in this church is Warm House Sunday. And those that bring those non-perishable food items and fill up that barrel, either this morning or during the week, they help people in this community. Changing people's lives is what it's about. And it can only happen when those in this church are willing to, come on, let's say it together, give their time, give their talents, and give their tithe. How about Wednesday's Spark program? When all the kids show up and they are in a safe, fun, learning environment after school. Come on, let's say it together. Changing people's lives can only happen when those in this church are willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. Look at our prayer shawl ministry, making hundreds of shawls. How do you say that? Do you say the L at the end of the word? I see some doing this and some doing this. Shawl, right? Shawl? All right, thank you. Just a clarification here. I'm a chemist, not an English major, all right? All right. Oh, it rhymes with y'all. Okay. When y'all make the shawls, how about that? Giving them to those who are sick, reminding them that they have a church and praying with them, that prays for them. Is this a... run the heat, and so static electricity is affecting us this morning. But anyway, remember that concept that I've said over and over and over again? You are a child of God. Let's say it personally. I am a child of God. I am not alone. That's what that prayer shawl ministry is all about. I said shawl, didn't I? All right, yeah. That's what that prayer shawl ministry is all about. Reminding people that they are a child of God and they are not alone, right? Remember that. Changing people's lives can only happen when those in this church are willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. How about our prayer warrior ministry? What a tremendous support in times of rejoicing and in times of need. Let's say it, folks. Changing people's lives can only happen when those in this church are willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. Let's make that personal. Changing people's lives can only happen when in this church am willing to give my time, my talents, and my tithe. How about our United Methodist men who help people with small projects when they can't do it themselves? Changing people's lives can only happen when I, as a member of this church, am willing to give, let's say it together, my time, my talent, and my tithe. Don't forget our trustees and others who gave many hours redoing the offices next door and also covenanted together, folks, to write a check for $250 each to pay down the sharpen our edge balance that we have. That's how passionate our trustees is about the ministries of this church, so we can move forward in doing great and better things next year. Changing people's lives can only happen when I, in this church, am willing to give my time, my talents, and my tithe. You all were supposed to say that with me, right? How about the fact that we have so many youth in this church that they can't meet in the youth room, and they are laughing, they're having fun, and they're learning how to live as Christians right here in this church, and then they choose to rake your leaves, they choose to rebuild someone's home, they choose to come in here and wipe down these pews, they choose to do things like that for service. But you know what? Changing people's lives, folks, come on, let's say it together, and let's say it just like it is up here, can only happen when those in this church are willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. You know, youth events like two Saturdays ago. Amazing, folks. Eight churches came to this church. I should say seven. We're the eighth, all right? But eight churches were involved in this to save a life thing that we did two Saturdays ago. Was it Saturday or was it Sunday? It was Sunday. Boy, seems like a long time ago. 186 people came. 60 high school youth. 70 junior high youth. 56 adults. Those adults have a passion for youth, and they are worried about what's going on in our youth's lives. And you know, after we watched the movie, guess who fed these individuals? Our church. You did. You fed the youth primarily and the adults. There was enough for the adults, as always in a United Methodist setting. But, right? This church, people in this church were willing to give their talent for baking. And then we gathered the junior high together, we gathered the high school together, and we were able to discuss issues around family, around premarital sex, around drugs and alcohol. Folks, changing people's lives can only happen when those in this church are willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. You see, I could go on and on and on. You know, for instance, our Sunday school teachers, pre-K through adult, who study to bring a relevant biblical lesson. Those of you who are not Sunday school teachers may not understand the time and the prayer that is put in by our teachers to bring a relevant biblical lesson, whether you're a teacher of a little kid or a teacher of adults, right? It is so important, just that fact alone, it is so important that you come to Sunday school. It is so important that you bring your kids or grandkids or great-grandkids, Mary Lee, to Sunday school. But you know the other reason why it's important? Because we, you, our kids, build relationships with those in the class. And those relationships are so important. Why? Because we are not alone. Bible studies like Brown Bag Bible Study, the small groups that we're beginning, that's under Mildy Brashear's tutelage there. Like 40 people at one time were doing that. That is very, very important in the life of this church. See, this is where we start with small groups. We don't want to be wide and shallow, right? We don't want to be wide and shallow. We want to be wide and deep. And I'm telling you right now, if we want to continue growth, we have got to grow deep as individuals. We have got to grow closer to God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So we can grow deep in our spiritual life. And then we can grow as wide as God will have us grow as a church. Well, like I said, I could go on and on. You have to understand that this church is so powerful in this community, and lives are changed only when the people of this church are willing to give their time, their talents, and their tithe. So just to bring it home, the ministries of this church are powerful in this community, and the lives are changed only when I am willing to give, say it, my time, my talents, and my tithe. The staff of this church can only do ministry because you are willing to give your time, your talent, and your tithe. But in saying that, we need to remember that we do these things because we are called to make Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and the world. Let's say that together. We all need to memorize that and carry it with us everywhere we go. We are called to make Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. So are you anointed with the Holy Spirit to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? Folks, if you proclaim Christ as your Lord and Savior, then your answer should be yes. So as we are called to be Jesus to the world, remember that it is the giving of your time, the giving of your talents, and the giving of your tithe that allow all of these awesome things to happen. And I don't want you to go home thinking, wow, he was just wanting us to give more and more. Well, yeah, obviously. We need you to give more and more. We really do. But quite honestly, this is as much about you giving your time and your talent as it is about giving your tithe. I want you to hear that. Everybody say, yes, Eric, I hear that. All right? Remember these lives changed only. All this that I've talked about the last 20 minutes, the only reason all that has happened is because you, me, together, we're willing to give our time, we're willing to give our talent, and we're willing to give our tithe. It is all about changing lives for Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Holy God, we come before you today and just give you praise, God, for the message that you brought to us. We thank you, Lord, for the fact of how important it is to give ourselves freely and joyfully to your work. We ask, God, that you anoint us fully as we move forward from this place, God. Help us do exactly what your will is, Lord. Help us follow the purpose of this church which you have given to us. And help us remember, God, that we have to grow deeper to grow wider. We love you, Lord. And we want to be in your will. Give us your strength to help us move into all that you are blessing in this community. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn now to our song of thanksgiving, I Come With Joy, number 617. Those helping with communion, would you please come up at this time and prepare our hearts and minds for Holy Communion. Gather around God's table, the table that God set for us so many years ago. Most of you know that this is one of my favorite Sundays of the month as we gather around as a community to celebrate the amazing gift that God has given us. And you know, one place I would like to begin is what I asked you several months ago. What does this mean to you? My son, I love him to death. Not my oldest either. I mean, I love him too, but anyway, forget it. Those listening on the radio wonder, what in the world is going on? What does this mean to you? What does it mean that God sent his son to be an example for us, to show us how we should live in this world and bring healing and wholeness to other people? What does that mean to you? What does it mean to you that Jesus loved us enough that because of his life example, we killed that love? That love was tortured and hung on the cross for us. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to you that 3 days later, after he was dead, God put an exclamation point on the end of Jesus' life and said, "Amen. You got it right, Jesus," as Jürgen Moltmann says, and resurrected him from the dead. What does that mean to you, overcoming sin and overcoming death? The church's understanding is this meal is to remind us of all those amazing things that God did for us in Jesus Christ. Every time we come forward to take communion, we are to remember the awesomeness of what God did for us as a community, but also for us individually. The fact that we need to remember, come on, let's say it together, that I am a child of God and I am not alone. Everything about Jesus is community. Everything about Jesus is community. This table is set in a community so that we can come together and celebrate all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we come today, prepare yourself to meet God. Prepare yourself to be strong and ask for God's strength to go out of this place an anointed Christian. Amen. So as we come together today, we celebrate the Son and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ, that was broken for us. That the Creator of all that ever was and all that ever will be resurrected Him so that we can have a relationship with our Creator. Let's pray. Holy God, we come before You today humbly, giving You praise for this amazing time that we call Holy Communion, the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. We thank You for this gift. May it deeply remind us, Lord, the love that You have for us. May it remind us that we are not alone. As we come together, God, we ask for Your powerful anointing to be upon this bread and this juice. Anoint it fully, God. Saturate it with the Holy Spirit. May Your Spirit be under and around and above and in the elements of the bread and the juice, God, so that it will truly be Your body and Your blood broken and shed for us. And now we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Here at First Church, we serve both the bread and the juice by intinction, which is taking a piece of the bread and dipping it in the juice, and also by the wafer and the small cup. We serve both and feel free to take either that you choose. Will the ushers please prepare the folks to come forward as I serve the folks up here.
this time I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward as we take our offering. Pray over our tithes and offerings. Father God, we lift these up to you. God, as we lift these as our tithes and as our offerings, God, Lord, help us to find places in our schedules, Lord, to give more of our time, more of our talents, Lord. Lord God, help us just give every aspect, every avenue of our lives to you, God, so that we can serve you and serve this church, God. Lord, we lift these things up to you. God, we pray that you just be with us, God. We love you and we praise you and we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Join me in our closing song, number 123 in your hymnal, El Shaddai, and let's sing it two times.